Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show. I am your host, Emma Gunn Wardner, and in this episode, which is brought to you by Olay, I am chatting all things anti-aging and how to take excellent care of the skin around your eyes with the rather fantastic Dr. Frauke Neuser. In particular, we'll be talking about how to prevent the signs of aging, how to use skincare to treat aging skin, and why Olay Eyes Pro Retinol Treatment Cream is their latest innovation in treating this very delicate eye area. Now, Dr. Frauke Neuser is Olay's principal scientist and has spent years analysing data and looking at skin under the microscope to better understand how to treat it with topical skincare. I've been very, very lucky throughout my career to hear her speak many times, to present really fascinating insights into the work that they do back at the labs at Olay. And I'm really, really, really pleased that she's on the show to kind of talk in more detail about some of those recent discoveries in this episode. Now, I'm going to ask Frauke how Olay made retinol gentle enough to use around the eyes, because I know there's a lot of skin intellectuals in the audience, and you may be wondering if an eye product can contain retinol. I'm also going to be asking whether the skin around the eyes does in fact age differently from the rest of the face, and if so, how, what they learned at Olay from speaking to thousands of women about their skin, and the one piece of advice she'd give everyone to help prevent the signs of aging. And honestly, there's so much, much more in here. I'm so pleased to give you an insight into the kind of people I get to speak to as a beauty journalist, so I'm glad that she's on the show to talk about this. As ever, all the links will be in the show notes on iTunes and emmagunns.com, and you can find me on social media as at Emma Guns. And if you want to join the Facebook group, where we're having a lot of fun talking all things skincare, beauty, whatever that might be, please do follow the link to the Facebook forum in the show notes. So here she is, the fabulously knowledgeable Dr. Frauke Neuser, Olay's principal scientist on The Emma Gunn Show. So I'm very excited to have Dr. Frauke Neuser on the podcast, talking specifically about something that I know lots of listeners have been in touch with me about, and this is about the eye area. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks you are, for having me.
Well, very, very happy to have you here. You are Olay's principal scientist, and you have been doing a lot of research recently, as ever, as is always the case, on the eye area and the signs of aging, how it is affected by the aging process, and the topical creams, lotions and potions that we can put on top to perhaps help reverse and prevent. So what did those initial studies tell you? Are we going mad, or do the eyes actually age a lot faster than the rest of our face?
You are not going mad. It is actually true. So in this case, perception is reality. So we did run a really interesting study that we called the facial mapping study, because we were interested, you know, everybody kind of seems to know anecdotally that the skin around the eyes is different and thinner and more vulnerable. But, you know, to what extent is it really different? So we ran this facial mapping study where we compared the under eye area, the crow's feet area, the cheeks, the forehead, and the nasolabial area to really look at, you know, the biological molecular profiles of how is the skin around the eyes different. And yes, all the things that we kind of anecdotally knew proved to be true. Yes, the skin is much thinner, less than half the thickness of other skin on your face. It is also drier because it has fewer so-called sable sites, so that the elements in your skin that actually produce the natural oils, the sebum, there's less of them if you look at the skin around the eye area. And the barrier is also weaker, which means that the skin around your eyes loses moisture much faster than the other zones on your face. And then last but not least, as if that wasn't enough, the elasticity around, you know, underneath your eyes is also lower than the rest of your face. So it's really like, even when you are still in your 20s, your eyes already have a disadvantage as it comes to their skin.
Because I've just listened to a presentation that you've just given on a much, much bigger scale. But one of the things you said is that the damage is already there before you can measure it, before we can actually even see it now. That's how advanced this testing is.
Yeah, so exactly. So one thing is, you know, the skin around the eye starts from a lower point. I wouldn't even call it, you know, damage. Mm-hmm. It's just naturally. And then the damage takes hold earlier. And yes, as you mentioned, it doesn't even, you know, kind of maybe show up yet, but we can measure underneath your skin that there are already biological processes that change your skin and that let your skin cells age even before you see the first lines and wrinkles and whatnot.
So, in addition to this facial mapping and doing all of these tests in the lab, you've also spoken to, is it thousands of women? And measure and got their feedback on how they perceive their skin to be aging, particularly the eye area. What's been the general feedback and what tend to be the predominant concerns that they're sharing with you?
So what women tell us that, you know, when we ask, so where do you see first signs of aging? Most women say it is around the eyes. Mm-hmm. So and we know that to be true. And then, you know, there's a variety of issues that they talk about. The one of the biggest ones seems to be dark circles. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons is that it's so visible.
Yes.
It's and it's not even so much about aging, right? You could have dark circles when you're 18, but it's really something that, it's all about contrast. When, you know, a beautiful face has very low contrast and dark circles give a lot of contrast, as do lines and wrinkles. But they're also concerned about crow's feet, wrinkles, and puffiness. So those areas are the, you know, the biggest concerns for the women that we talked to. And then we did some perception research, as we call it, perception research, and also eye tracking research, to really, you know, prove the point that yes, actually, you know, A, people look at your eyes first. That's when they make that split second kind
first
of judgment.
Yeah.
You know, how young, how healthy, how attractive are you? And then interestingly, they come back to that area. So they look at your eyes and they do look around, but they come back to your eyes. And so it does make a huge difference. But the good thing that we also learned is that if you can make some small differences, some small improvements, it will overall really have an impact. So you don't need to do like a 100% get rid of everything. Mm-hmm. Even small changes can really change the perception.
Well, what would you say, because we've got a couple of things to cover here, because we want to look at the preventative measures, which we are definitely coming on to, and also treating what already exists. Mm-hmm. So what are the leading causes? Are there any lifestyle changes? Are there anything aside from what we're going to talk about in a minute that people can do to help with the aging process, particularly when it comes to the age? We're talking nature versus nurture here.
So we know that a couple of the things you do actually have a huge impact on how well your skin ages. Mm-hmm. And the number one, you know, thing you should do, and you know, at the risk of boring you and people listening to you, it is using daily sun protection.
This is something the listeners have heard many times.
Number two, number three, and I wish I could tell you something more exciting. But I can't.
I love that. I love the fact that you just said it's the number one, it's the number one, it's the number two, and it's the number three.
Because it is true. So if you can start at a, you know, as young as possible age to use a daily moisturizer and then make it a moisturizer containing SPF in the morning, you're already doing a lot for your skin.
Okay. That's very interesting. So that, would you say that's the only
thing?
No.
Okay.
I think it makes the single biggest difference. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, there are other things, you know, you can do, especially when it comes to, you know, your skincare routine, things like, you know, mm-hmm. the right cleansing routine. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, your skin is a delicate organ. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is such a thing as over cleansing and yes. over exfoliation, which is
rough.
Yes, which is yeah, yes, exactly. Be thorough, but be mm-hmm. gentle. Moisturize. Mm-hmm. And it's not enough to drink 8 glasses of water a day. That's great for your overall body, but your skin needs the moisturization also from the outside.
Because I think we've established on this podcast before, haven't we, listeners, that drinking water doesn't necessarily mean more hydrated skin, does it?
Exactly.
Could you please confirm this for us?
Yes, that is a myth that I'm very happy to bust.
Excellent. Yeah, because I know whenever I say, oh, I'm feeling a bit dehydrated or my skin's looking such and such, somebody will comment, oh, you should drink a glass of water. And I now have to say, well, actually, that's not strictly true. Anyway, do you have any advice for anti-aging in terms of the different decades? So when should you start using anti-aging? Is it in your 30s? And then how should you evolve your regime as you navigate through 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s?
Yeah. So may I get a little philosophical on this? Because I would say, don't think about anti-aging as anti-aging. Because mm-hmm. if you start doing it when the aging is there, you know, you're always trying to play catch up.
Right.
So I would say, you know, but if you want to stay with that term, anti-aging, the best anti-aging treatment is a daily sun protection product mm-hmm. because UV exposure is the number one accelerator of mm-hmm. visible skin aging. So, you know, so it's you know, the prevention and the cure is almost, you know, you have to think about both from an mm-hmm. early age. So if you moisturize your skin, and if you use a sunscreen, you're actually doing a lot of anti-aging before the aging has mm. even kicked in. And I just want to mm. sort of, I know we talked about it already, but think about it that way. You mm. know, don't wait until, you know, a lot of the damage has been done and it's done to a degree that it becomes mm. visible. But think about as preventing it. Even up front.
And you can also see the benefits of that if you're in your 50s or 60s, if you start wearing an SPF. It's no point just saying, well, it's too late now, is it? It's still useful.
No, even if you start late, it still makes a very big difference.
A huge difference.
So that's one, you know, so start with that early. Mm. And then, of course, there are some other differences when mm. I think about 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. And one of the studies we ran actually looked at you know, skin at every decade of your life. And we had large populations of women in their 20s, in their 30s, in their 40s, because we were really curious to see, mm-hmm. you know, is aging, you know, very linear, and with every decade, you know, you lose 10% of whatever, or are there certain tipping points? Mm-hmm. And we found that there are actually, you know, these so-called tipping points. So in your 20s, your skin already starts sort of slowing down in its natural antioxidant defense. Mm-hmm. So not only do you really need to use a sunscreen, but thinking about antioxidants in your product is also a good idea, because a lot of the damage that otherwise happens, you know, it's not visible yet, so you're not worried about it,
yeah.
but it's already happening. So in your 20s, antioxidants are a really good ingredient to look for.
But could you rattle off a couple of ingredient antioxidants as
yes.
they would appear on the Inkey list?
Yes, so vitamin C, vitamin E, green tea extract. There's a couple of different ones, but those are some of the favorites that we use. Oftentimes they will actually be called out as antioxidants, because there seems to be sort of a general awareness mm. of these ingredients now.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, one of the ingredients that has been getting so much attention recently, and with good reason, because it really is, as we've heard this morning, it's a gold standard, it's the kind of top of the class, as you were, is retinol.
Yes.
And retinol is many, many things. So would you mind just breaking down what the different types of retinol are? Because it's an umbrella term, isn't it?
Ish. Yeah, ish, exactly. So the umbrella term is maybe to think about it as, you know, as vitamin A mm-hmm. or, you know, retinoids as an umbrella term. And then there are different, you know, sort of chemical forms within that. Mm-hmm. So the most powerful retinoid in that group is retinoic acid.
Mm-hmm. And that's the prescription.
Exactly. That's what you find in most of the prescription products. Mm-hmm. Retinoic acid. That's the biologically most active form of retinol, so vitamin A. But it's also the one that has the highest irritation potential.
Yes.
So a lot of women sort of complain about dryness, redness, irritation, and they don't like using retinoic acid.
Now, what does irritation mean when you use retinol? What does it mean is happening to the skin? Does it mean you're having an allergic reaction?
It's not an allergic reaction. It's literally irritating your skin. So it turns red, it flakes, it looks kind of, you know, think about angry skin. That's what you're getting, and that's kind of the underlying
and that's what you want, isn't it? That's a positive.
Not necessarily. So it doesn't, you don't have to have irritation to get the benefit,
right?
But a lot of people do get it with the retinoic acid, which is why the cosmetic industry many years ago started looking at alternatives, but within that same group. So retinol, it's kind of one removed, one step removed from retinoic acid, is therefore a little less efficacious, but also has a better irritation profile, meaning it's less irritating or irritating to feel people.
And so you would be more likely to find that in something you could buy without a prescription, right? So retinoic acid you buy, you get over prescription. And then when you move into retinol, and this is, they're the kind of products that would have 1% or 0.5% on the packaging, maybe?
Well, yes, maybe 1% is fairly high, so it probably would be less than that. Now, most products don't actually tell you the percentage necessarily, so you might not actually know how much is really, really in there. But as I said, retinol itself still has a fairly significant irritation potential. Mm-hmm. So there's a third group of retinoids, which are the retinoid esters. And that's actually the one that we use, that we call proretinol, because it gets converted into retinol in your skin, which then gets converted into retinoic acid. But you're allowing your skin to do it at its own pace. Mm. So you're giving it an ingredient that can, you know, still does some of the same things, delivers the same benefits, but has a much lower irritation potential.
And what we're talking about here is the Olay Eyes Pro Retinol. This is the new product.
Exactly.
And when I first saw it, I saw retinol, I saw eyes, I thought...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Really?
What?
What's happening here? This doesn't seem like a good idea, because the word irritation comes up with retinol, but you've done something really special to the retinol in order to be able to use it on the eye area. And this is very impressive, it reduces the appearance of deep wrinkles in 4 weeks.
It does, but it doesn't stop after 4 weeks. So we actually have clinical data for 4 weeks, 8 weeks, even 24 weeks, which is a full 6 months, to show that, you know, the performance even goes up after those initial 4 weeks.
So what have you done in order to make proretinol applicable to the eye area?
Yeah, so, and again, so the reason we chose the proretinol is that it has much lower irritation. So it is safe to use around the eye area. Now you're going to say, well, but it doesn't have the same performance and efficacy. Well, on its own, it might not. But we've combined it with a couple of different peptides and with niacinamide, which is vitamin B3. And so in formulation, it's always about the combination. Very rarely do you get a product where you have just one active ingredient. And so what we've seen is when we combine our proretinol with these other ingredients, we get comparable wrinkle reduction to a prescription retinol product, but with almost none of the irritation, dryness, redness. We keep the skin barrier intact, so you're getting all the goodies without the disadvantage, which sounds a little bit too good to be true, but it actually is in this case.
But I know I've been coming to these presentations for years. I've heard you speak many, 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 many times. The level of detail that goes into producing these new formulas is forensic. It's so unreal. But, and it sounds like the fact that it's gentle has been at the top of the list of requirements, the fact that it's easy to use.
Yes, because, you know, we are in the business of beauty, right? We don't want to harm your skin. We don't want you to get all red and irritated and dry just to be able to get a benefit you're looking for. So I think there's always ways around it, but you really have to put in the time to really understand your formulations, to understand how your skin responds, to look at different skin types, how do they respond. It's not just, you know, especially on the paretinol products, we've done a lot of research both in the Western world but also in Asia to make sure that it works for all different skin types. And I think that's important as well, because otherwise you might end up with something that does really well in the lab, but once you send it out in the world, it doesn't perform so well.
And what I also think is incredibly interesting is that you also tested it. You tested the proretinol against prescription Retin-A, is that right?
Exactly. Yes, that's the study I was alluding to earlier, the 24-week clinical study. And we ran that study together with a couple of external independent dermatologists who helped us to design the study in the right way and to also grade it. The participants in the study, so they literally looked at their pictures at baseline after 8 weeks and after 24 weeks to grade the wrinkles around the eyes, and we saw a significant improvement, and it was no different from the results you got with the Retin-A prescription product.
Goodness, that must have been a good day at the office.
It was yes. And by the way, we published the results, so it's a publication everybody has access to, so it's not that we're hiding any of this.
Well,
it's,
I will make sure that the notes to that, the link to that is in the show notes. But I think what I'm really interested about is how would I use it, because I think I've talked to many people on this podcast before about, I think the consumer is getting a lot more savvy about ingredients. But then it's a case of, can you layer too many? Can you create a cocktail that perhaps might not be so good? So if I'm using the Olay Pro Retinol Eyes, what order should I be using it in? What time of day should I be using it? Is it a night-only product?
It's not a night-only product, so we recommend to use it morning and night. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we also know that, you know, people do whatever works best for them. So if you only want to use it at night or only use it once a day, then I think that, you know, and it works for you, that's also fine. But our recommendation for best results is to use it twice a day. Now, in terms of the order of products, the way I think about it, your eye product is probably the last step before you apply your sunscreen.
Okay.
So, if you have multiple toners, serums and other things before it, that's all good. But make sure that your second last step is the eye cream, and then your last step, don't forget about the SPF product.
So if you're using it in the morning, the last step would be to put some kind of SPF over the top.
Yes, and sorry, of course, at night it wouldn't be. At night, yeah. You know, you have your moisturizer, but yes, in the morning specifically, don't forget to put your SPF as the last layer.
Mm. Okay, that's very interesting. And how does it feel? Can I use it all over the eye area? I think whenever I apply my eye cream, I tend to do this sort of little tappy thing with my ring finger.
Yes.
But you can use this on the mobile lid as well. And
you can, yes. And it really depends about, you know, are you using it to treat what's, you know, a problem that's already there? Then, of course, you want to focus on that area, so a little bit more kind of, you know, preventative. But if you look at the... If you've tried it, you know, the texture is really, really... light, it absorbs very quickly, which is what you want around the eye area, because you don't want to, you know, you don't want it to run into your eyes. You also don't want to have to wait 10 minutes before you apply your makeup. So it's a very nice texture that absorbs super quickly and doesn't, you know, feel wet or greasy or anything afterwards.
Well, that's another thing I was going to say, because sometimes with the eyes, you sort of, you know, use that light finger tapping motion, but it's a very gentle, soft texture. Like you say, it absorbs very, very quickly. So it is fine to put makeup over the top of it, and you can just go about your day as normal. I think sometimes when there's a very potent, very effective active ingredient in skincare, we can sometimes either overuse it, or I know I have. But you can just use this as normal. Is there a preferred amount? Would you say less is more? Or
yes, I would definitely, you know, start with, because it comes in a tube with a kind of long fine nozzle, so it's very easy to dose just a little bit and start with that. You know, I'd rather, okay, now I feel I can use a little more, rather than, you know, using too much and then what do I do with it. So you don't really need very much. you know, as long as you feel that you've covered the areas that you wanted to cover with, you know, underneath the eyes, the corners of the eyes, so the crow's feet area. Mm-hmm. If you want to use it on the lids, then you might need a second little
a little bit extra.
Yeah.
And I think what's very clever is the packaging has been designed to support the formula, which I know we all know. There has been a lot of change recently, but obviously retinol is light sensitive, which is why you would use an SPF over the top in the daytime, and why people using more extreme levels of retinol are encouraged to very strongly to use an SPF over the top. But the packaging has actually been designed to protect it from light, hasn't it, and to keep it stable. And
yes, and it's not just from light, it's generally from oxidation. Mm-hmm. and sort of so you know, and there's a couple of different ways you can do it, but it's even important as you pack it that you do it under a protective sort of atmosphere, all those good things, and that if you have a little tube, it doesn't kind of suck the air back in.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of, you know, that you don't even think about when you buy and use a product, yet our scientists have probably worked.
You mentioned the formula. You mentioned the fact that it also contains peptides and niacinamide.
Yes.
Could you talk us through the additional ingredients and what they do?
Yes.
So we've got carnosine?
Yes. And let me actually start with niacinamide. Niacinamide is a form of vitamin B3.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was one ingredient you would want in your skincare, and you could have only one and nothing else, you would want niacinamide.
My goodness, coming from you, that is like...
It really is.
Why do you love it?
Because it does so many things for your skin, and don't even think about it as an anti-aging ingredient. It's an ingredient that keeps your skin healthy and strong and resilient.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use it in your 20s, that's what it's going to do. You're going to have, you know, strong skin that is resilient against stressors from the inside and the outside. It's going to be, you know, much better at holding moisture. It's going to have a better texture, whether we're thinking pores or fine lines. Mm-hmm. It's going to have better complexion in terms of tone. So niacinamide does a little bit of everything, and the reason why is it plays a very central role in just skin cell metabolism. By the way, not just skin cell metabolism, which is what, you know, vitamin means. It's essential for you to live. So, and it's in the same way, it's very essential for your skin. So niacinamide, we're still learning new things about it every day, although we've used it for the past 20 years, but it's really incredible, you know, how beneficial it can be for skin, no matter what life stage you're at.
Because it felt like 2015 was the year of niacinamide, and I remember around sort of the end of 2015, a lot of commissioning editors were saying to me, find us the next ingredient, can you write a feature on the big ingredient for 2016? And then still niacinamide has got a huge profile, and
yes,
everyone is saying the applications, what you can actually do with this is really quite something.
Yes, it is. So I want to say there's no Olay leave-on product formulation that doesn't have niacinamide, almost none, because it has such a crucial role to play.
Interesting.
And then the second group of ingredients we mentioned were peptides. So we have three different peptides in there.
Can you explain, just as a dummy's guy, because I always need
what is a peptide?
What is a peptide?
Okay, so your skin and all of your body are made out of a critical group of what I want to call it, components that are called proteins, right? And we all thought about proteins and eat your protein and that good stuff. And proteins are very large molecules that you know, build your muscles and build your skin and other areas of your body. And if you break those down, you know, if you think about the big Lego castle, that's your protein. Once you break it down, then the smaller building blocks, those are actually peptides. Mm-hmm. So many peptides put together make a protein.
Okay.
And so what researchers found many years ago was that when skin, you know, regenerates itself, it uses peptides as little kind of signal molecules that tell skin, oh, it's time to make some new collagen, some new elastin. So it's almost, you know, as natural kind of wake-up calls within the skin. And then we found that when you put those peptides into a skincare product, it can sort of trigger that regeneration, even when skin isn't sort of naturally triggering its own regeneration. And regeneration is very similar. You know, that's kind of what you want when you talk anti-aging.
Yes.
So you want skin to produce fresh collagen, fresh elastin. And that's what peptides really play a very big role in. And then we have carnosine, which is also a peptide, but a slightly different one because it has antioxidative properties. And antioxidants, I think everybody's heard about that and we talked about it. So they have a very protective function. So all of this, niacinamide, three different peptides, and the proretinol go into the eye product. And it's really the whole package. It's not, you know, each one plays an important role, but all together really give you the full benefit of the product.
In a gentle formula that doesn't feel... It feels gorgeous on the skin. Like, that's the only way, isn't it? It feels really nice. And the skin, as you say, it's absorbed quickly. I always say, well, that's a sign that the skin loves it. It's absorbing it.
Yes, exactly. And you know, and again, in the eye area, that's really important because the last thing you want to do is have to sort of rub for 10 minutes to make it disappear. Mm.
Or worse, it makes it, I mean, just being vain here, worse, it makes your makeup not stick and then you get through half the day and, you know, you've got panda eyes or worse, it's all down your cheeks.
Yes, don't want that.
That is so interesting. And thank you for explaining those ingredients as well, because it's so easy to get lost. I feel like there's a new ingredient every day.
There is. And, you know, I think one, you know, just one general comment I think is if you look at the ones that have been around for a long time, there's a reason why they've been around for a long time, whether that's retinol, niacinamide, peptides. You know, yes, there will be kind of the new-ish, more maybe sexy ingredients, but I think there's something to be said for ingredients that have been trialed and tested even by many different companies and brands, because if all of them think there's something here, then, you know, there probably is, versus, you know, one ingredient that gets only used by, you know, one brand or one company, and it's like, well, is there independent data to prove that it really works? So there's something to be said for, you know, true and tested and familiar and has been around for a long time.
Well, I know lots of listeners have been in touch with specific questions about the eye area, so thank you for addressing all of those. And I will put the link to that study in the show notes, because that will show the visible before and afters to see the actual effect of the proretinol eyes on the skin. Is that correct?
Yes, and that was the study, the 24-week clinical study versus the prescription product, yes.
Farrukh, I've been so lucky over my career to hear you speak so many times, but I'm just very, very grateful that you've come on the Emma Gunn Show to talk about your research, to talk about this new product and what it can do. So thank you so much for your time.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Come back whenever you like.
I will.
Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed that episode of the show brought to you by Olay. If you do want to get your hands on proretinol eye treatment, and why wouldn't you, and you're based in the UK, why not head to Boots? And if you want to be at the front line of all the information from Olay, why not follow them on social media, where they are at Olay UK. Thank you once again for listening, and I will see you on the next one.